Go with me to Proverbs 1. Yesterday, LaRue brought an excellent word. I believe the teaching will be up probably tomorrow. I know it was being worked on today, so it should be up tomorrow. And I think it's going to be called The Instruction of Wisdom. So, but it's one of the ones you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss. So I don't want to reteach what he was teaching, but I do want to recognize that where he was bringing this was that this is a place as we begin to approach wisdom. Wisdom delivers something to you. Okay? Verse 2, say, Proverbs 1, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. This is the reason for the Proverbs. It's also the reason for your relationship with wisdom. To receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Wisdom is about the business of delivering the understanding of heaven. And when the understanding comes, it also comes as an instruction to us. As it comes as an instruction to us, it's coming out of heaven, and it's equipped with a grace on it that will make it possible. It's not something that you have to strive at in your own strength. When you receive that, it's like any other word that you receive out of heaven. The word comes with it an anointing to complete the word. So when the instruction of heaven comes, it has an anointing on it that will complete that instruction. And it's up for us simply to receive. Surrender. Surrender is an important thing because that's what makes it possible. Now, you know, I mean, LaRue was being pretty personal about it yesterday, which I personally love. We know he was talking about, you know, Sharon most of the time, but I figured I'd get her. But it's important. It's important to understand the whole purpose of wisdom's journey with you, because it's a journey. It's not just a one-time and done thing. There's a journey that it makes. The whole purpose of this journey is to bring light to what needs to have light brought to it, and to bring explanation of how now we begin to deal with it from a perspective of heaven. Yes. Not just out of my own works. You know, long before I knew God, I really, 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 I've had life, made a lifetime out of trying to be perfect. And you can say, and this is all the farther you got? Okay, I understand. But I made a lifetime out of trying to be perfect. Why? Because if I could be perfect enough, then I could be accepted. If I could be perfect enough, I wouldn't get beat. If I could be perfect enough, I could basically keep myself safe. See, when we start thinking and responding like that, okay, I can see those things, but it also takes the Holy Ghost. It takes the Spirit of wisdom to begin to show you how to deal with these things. He wants to show you, even lots of times, you're the last one to know that's what you're doing. This perfection thing affects most everybody in my family. I'm going to throw my relatives under it, because reality is like when we sit down to eat, we don't let our food touch each other. The beans and the carrot, he's the exception if that's the case. But the beans and the potatoes cannot touch. The meat cannot touch. What, it's all got to be separated. And see, I thought I was bad until I realized that my sister, she has cats. When she feeds the cats and the cats get through mixing all the food, because she gives them some dry food and some mushy food, she gets down there and separates it all out. I mean, that's compulsive. So therefore, I'm okay because she's worse. But here's the deal. That's all from a design to be perfect so you can be accepted. That's the thing that's running in the background. But you don't change that, Les. You don't do that, do you? You don't change that. You don't change that unless you allow it to change. Unless you begin to see what God's doing. It says, I'm going to skip over to verse 7 here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the basic component that begins to set this up for you. Because the more that you are engaged the fear of the Lord, the more that you engage Him, now you're in a place where you can receive Him. You're in a place where the fear of the Lord is now He begins to interact with you and begins to impress you with what's important. Because see, what's important to you might not be important to Him this week. I've had times where I was busy going after something and then the Lord said, that's not what I asked you to do. I wanted you to look at this and you're over here doing that. So you have, it takes a shift. It takes a surrender. It takes an engagement with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we come into it. But if you flip over to chapter 3 and verse 18, it says that that wisdom is a tree of life to those who will take hold. Wisdom is a tree of life. Wisdom is a source of life. It's a source of healing. Wisdom is a source of what God has intended for you, because the tree of life represents all that is good in the kingdom. And so as it's representing all that's good in the kingdom, that is accessible to you because of the spirit of wisdom that you interact with. The more you interact, the more wisdom is able to come into the picture. The more that you interact, the more the life that is in this wisdom is released into your life. See, if you'll seek out wisdom, wisdom will seek you out. And when He begins to seek you out, she, yes, we got to keep our pronouns. We're not supposed to use pronouns anymore. When she will seek you out, it took you a little bit. When she begins to seek you out, she brings light and grace. Light and grace. See, it's one thing. How can I say that and be nice? But it's one thing to shine the light on something. But how many know that there's a thing called truth and love? Okay, a lot of times we shine the light on a situation, but we're not doing it really out of love. We're bringing it because we want a spirit of accusation going forward. That's what was happening. And so when we're sharing out of that, then there's a result that's not going to be God. Amen. There might have been a time or two that I shared a truth with my wife that wasn't necessarily done in love. I was shining a light on something that might have actually been a fact, but unless I do it out of a heart of love, unless I do it out of a heart that brings grace with it, then it's just exposing something without healing something. So when we begin to engage, what we're recognizing here is that when Father engages you and the Spirit of wisdom comes alongside you, it brings with it grace as well as light. The difference is the result is different. Because now when grace and light come together, then there is an exposure that allows you to not only see it, but yield yourself to it. I remember the very first prophetic word that I ever received, and this gentleman began to tell me about how I spoke to my wife. And he was absolutely correct. But see, what it made me do, it instead of shrinking back, because number one, when he, the way he shared it, the words that he chose, I knew exactly what he was talking about, but other people around weren't going to know what he was talking about. But it also came with it that authority, the grace, and the desire to do better. I knew in that moment that I could do better. I knew, and it was my joy now to do better. So that's the difference. To see, when wisdom begins to put, to shine light on something, she's doing it as she comes forward to you. She's doing the thing, bringing the thing to light, but it's also bringing with it the empowerment to accomplish it. And that's the difference that we're looking for. Because no longer do we have to try to, like I started out this whole teaching with, try to do it in our own strength. We can allow the Holy Spirit to do it within us. Because you do realize wisdom is basically a facet of Holy Spirit. Like another view of Holy Spirit. I can show you Proverbs 8. We can show you that's that's just for now, just accept that that's, it's another place of Holy Spirit. And what did Christ say? What did Christ say concerning Holy Spirit? In John 16, verse 7, he said, it's better for you if I go away so he can come. It's necessary that Christ was going to go away anyway, but because he went away, that's what brought the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what brought Holy Spirit to us. And so it was better because now not only can Christ be in one place, but Christ can be in every place that a believer is. That means that everything the Holy Spirit brings with him, the ministry of wisdom, can be everywhere that a believer is. The ministry of sanctification, which is one of the things that Holy Spirit does, is everywhere that a believer is. Now, it's not only possible to begin looking like Christ, it's also possible to begin releasing Christ. See, Jesus never intended for us to do this all on our own. I know religion has kind of pounded it into our head. And the reality is, I didn't have a lot of religion because when I got saved, I didn't know hardly anything about anything. I attended church with my grandmother, and basically, you know, when you're there on summer vacation, Those were the kind of things that we, that was our experience, but that was most of the experience that we had. But religion tries to teach you that it's all about you and what you can do. It's all about you and you making it happen. But the reality is, I'm telling you tonight that we can show you here in the scripture, we're showing you here that it's not just your effort that's going to make it happen. It's going to have to be a yielding to Holy Spirit, a yielding to the Spirit of wisdom. And as you yield to the Spirit of wisdom, then there's the, not only the instruction that comes, but the completion comes with. We can yield into that. So, with all that being said, I have multiple ways I can go. With all that being said, it's time to, what's that? Yes. With all that being said, it's time to not live from our pain any longer. Time to not live from our pain. How do you know if you're living from your pain? Are you running away? Are you hiding? Are you coping? Are you mad for no reason? Are you standing in fear over something, anxiety, panic? All those things come because we're living from our pain rather than living from the victory that Christ purchased for us. That whole thing of trying to be perfect was because I was living from my pain. And if I catch myself now, I can begin to go get centered back in who God said I am. Rather than having to be perfect, I can recognize that I can be accepted just who I am. We can come to the place where we're living out of the grace that the cross purchased for us. Meaning that when something happens, I can respond to it out of the grace that comes from the cross. I can respond to it out of, in a way that allows me to get to be changed in that moment. And it's not me having to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 5 begins to outline some things here. Proverbs 5, verse 3. And here it says, "For the lips of an adulteress drip honey. Smoother than oil is her speech." But the reality is, what if instead of the adulteress, because, you know, that was Solomon's world. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Okay. But so I imagine that was kind of on his mind. But the deal is, what if instead of that you say, for addiction, for sin, for shopping? I know that was too close, wasn't it? For idolatry. See, all these things start out and they look alluring. When they show you the Budweiser commercial, all these people are having fun. They don't show you what is the end result. What is the end result is some little old man standing in the back corner of some seedy little dive where there's no light and no one will talk to him anymore and he's still drinking. Because that's the end result. I've seen the end result. But that's not what the advertisement shows you. The advertisement shows you all these people and how much fun they're having, and no one's getting too drunk because they're all just having so much fun. It doesn't show you the ugly. And that's what this verse is telling you. When you're first approached into these things, it's not showing you the ugly. It's showing you what is alluring, what is drawing, and what seems like it's a solution to my problem because I had way too much going on at work today, and I'm really stressed out, and I don't want to go home and see the kids, so I'm going to just sit here and drink all night. Not that I know anything about that. See, but here it is, verse 4. In the end, is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. See, these situations that are going on around us, they're not pondering the path of life. There's nothing about God in that moment. So there's nothing that brings healing. That's why coping will never bring healing. It's a little bit of a soapbox for me, but so many of our 12-step programs really are just about coping. But there's no healing because they don't involve Christ. They don't involve letting Christ get into your life in that way. They don't allow Christ to bring the wholeness and wellness. Wisdom wants to bring you an instruction so that you know how to respond to the situation, not in the way that you did to cope, but in a way that brings glory to God. Yes. Yes. I'm being helped from the front row. She'll let you see it. She'll let you see it. Wisdom will open it up so that you can see it. Number one, that's the first step to cure, to healing anything. Then you also have to open up to it happening. Let's read down a little further because that gets addressed. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. See, for an addict, at first, they don't know. They're already caught. They're already caught up, but they don't know. Now then, my sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go to the door of her house, lest you give your vigor to others. In other words, lest you surrender your life here and your years to the cruel one. I've watched addicts year after year. Even though they might get out for a moment, then it's right back in. And then year after year, one year becomes another. Lest the strangers be filled with your strength and your hard-earned goods go to the house of an alien. And when your latter end, when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you'll say, how I have hated instruction and my heart spurned reproof. In other words, you cast off the very thing. You can't say that it didn't come because there were those in your life who were showing you. Those were those in your life who were telling you, but you couldn't see it. So the last thing you want to do was be convicted by it. So you did everything you could to avoid it. Sometimes that's why we're running. Sometimes that's why we're hiding. But I'm here to tell you there's a better way. Because wisdom wants to bring the instruction. And wisdom wants to bring the instruction in such a way that it's evident to you and allows you to overcome. Allows you to stand up with it. Allows you to join in with it. And allows you to have joy in the process. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be under the condemnation any longer. Condemnation is of the enemy. I don't care if it's self-condemnation or condemnation of another. That's never God. anything that I'm telling you here is not to put you under condemnation. It's to give you hope that there's a better way. It's to give you a place to see that you have something to that you can grab a hold of that will be allow you to accelerate outside of yourself. It's not condemnation. This is what I'm sharing with you is an invitation. Because we can all do better. Until we get to the point where everybody in here looks like Christ, we can all do better. Because I'm looking at me. I'm looking at Lily too. But I want that encouragement to be a part of our understanding. And it comes from a spirit of wisdom. He wants to share. He wants to bring it forth. We want to receive. And sometimes the thing that is brought to light is something that you will already have dealt with. You already dealt with it. It's like, I dealt with that. I did that. I forgave. Reality is if there's something going on, if there's a blockage between you and God, we need to find out why. We need to let go of the pride and find out why. One time my phone line at my other house had gone bad. And so I started following the phone line across the yard to find out because I could go to the other yard, side of the yard and my phone would work. So where it was at, the little tower, but it didn't work at my house. So I start trenching across the yard, following this phone line. And you know that phone line went like this, and like this, and like this, and all over the place. And then I found this big spool of wire. And my brake was in the spool. And so when a phone guy showed up later on, I asked, who was the yo-yo that ran the thing all across the yard in a big zigzag pattern? I said, why would somebody even do that? He said, it's not the case. He said, the ground is continually moving. And they leave the spool of wire there so that as it moves, it can pull more off if it needs to in order to stay connected all the way through as the earth moves around it. So you take that same thought and you recognize looking at like a field. A farmer plows a field. He takes and removes all the stones out of a field. He removes every stone. And then he plants and he harvests and he plants and he harvests. And he goes to plant again and all of a sudden there's more stones there. Why? Because the earth has been slowly working those stones back to new stones back to the surface. You're not one and done. The reality is for most of us in different areas of our life, it's not one and done. If there's something blocking me, even things that I've already dealt with, sometimes I need to go back and look at. Because it wasn't one and done, because a new stone has surfaced, something that was deeper down, something that took a little more time to come back up. Sometimes there are things that we drove around that stone when we did it the last time. Other times there's something there that wasn't there before, but was there before because it was just deeper down. We just need to look. Because whatever it is, it's worth dealing with. Number one, if you haven't difficulty hearing God, realize that there's a couple of things that are most prevalent in that situation. One, you're into witchcraft. That's probably the least, but it happens. Two, you're mad at God. Three, you're mad at yourself. If you have unforgiveness towards yourself, and believe me, you can. Those things happen. Or you're mad at leadership. I know that wouldn't ever happen here.
Never.
Never. One thing I found is that if you're in that process and you're getting your heart right, one of the things that really does make a difference is if you bring you know, a gift, a present for that person that you've been in unforgiveness towards. So don't everybody bring their stuff to the all on the same day, okay? but it's sincerely, that's a thing that will actually set you free. When I have aught against a neighbor and I go make it right, even if they don't want to make it right, I do my part. I'm free. And if I bring a gift in the process, I learned that from Greg, because the Lord told him, you know, he was going over there and he said, I need for you to go and forgive this person who was in his leadership. And he's, I don't want to forgive. So he finally, just out of obedience, he said, okay, well, I will go and tell him I forgive him. And he said, then the Lord said, and I want you to bring him a gift. And he's like, bring him a gift? Are you kidding? He's the one who hurt me. He's the one who's supposed to be responsible for me. And anyway, he did it, but the freedom was there. The freedom was there. Whatever it is that's in your heart, whatever it is that's blocking you, that's the thing that we want to look for. But that we don't have to look for it because Jesus will, and wisdom will bring it up to you. All we have to be responsible for is being open, inviting wisdom. The more we can invite wisdom, the more revelation shows up. The more we invite wisdom, the more he can begin to shine a light and then deliver the authority to set it free. But it's just a matter of yielding. Hallelujah. How do you know when you get free? I want to make it practical for a moment. How do you know when you get free? Go. Yes, that's good. Compassion, that's good. Joy, compassion, those things. But the main thing is put yourself in the same situation and see if you're triggered. You know, if you have an offense toward somebody, then go be with them and see if you get triggered. Just go stand next to them and see if you get triggered. He needs wisdom. But see, when we engage outside of our previous parameter, when we begin to engage something that before would have caused us to run away in fear, if it would have caused us to go into hiding, it would have caused us to do something that we know was, you know, start coping in an unhealthy and unholy way. If we can do those things and we're not triggered anymore. There was one time then, a lady came and she had an accident when she was 16 years old, and she was the passenger in that car, and literally the side of the car was taken off, but also part of her face was taken off, and she was in the hospital for like a year. So out of that trauma, she never ever wanted to be and never been a passenger in a car since. Now her daughter is turning 15 years old and has to do driver's ed, which means that she has to be the passenger of a car. Not just any car, a car who's somebody who's an inexperienced driver, but a teenager. So we prayed and we did some sozo and we brought some things out of her heart. And as we did so, there was a clearing up and then a place of where they found that she got comfortable. So I said, okay, now then, let's just go sit in the truck and see what happens. Guess what? She sat down as a passenger in the truck, and all of a sudden, more triggers, more stuff showed up. We dealt with the stuff. Then we started the car, and we dealt with that, some more stuff. And then we went around the block until there was no more fear, no more crisis happening within her. Until she was complete, not threatened by being in a passenger seat. And I got a text the next morning. She said, I'm on my way to school. My daughter's driving, and I'm okay. See, wisdom wants to take you on that same ride. Wisdom wants to whatever was whatever the trauma was, it wants to relieve you of that. Shine the light into that place and remove it so there's no longer a trigger there. It doesn't matter what the issue is. That one was mostly, you know, how many of you don't like to climb up ladders? Same thing. Yeah. Yeah, once you fall off one, you definitely don't like climbing up. So my point is, whatever it takes, let's dig into wisdom. Let's invite wisdom. Let's invite wisdom. Because wisdom will not only share with you what you need to see, but it will also release the secret of how to be free. Amen? Amen. You want something to share? I think you do.
I'm going to try to hold back a little bit because it's late. And I could take off in about 15 directions. That was good. Let's give God glory for that. Praise God. Come on, let's give God glory. That was really good. I just have a few things to share about this. I'm not going to be long, I promise. I just want to say a few things. When we tapped into this, this is an operation of God. It's not just a one-time deal. It's deep. I'm telling you, it's like if I can give you a relation to it, it's like when we tapped in the right hand of God. It is that big of an ocean. The difference between what we're talking about right now versus what we've talked about, right hand of God, the right hand of God would be classified as all the revelations that would elevate you into that position and all the positions we enjoy there. When you come back here, there's a certain anointing will be on you, but you still are entering into a realm here that can be dangerous, that can be glorious, but it's controlled by second heaven influence. It's controlled by the enemy, and there's so many pitfalls here that we don't even know about, that God keeps us from. But the higher we grow and the higher we get in the realm of God's glory, the more the enemy is going to expose us to his operations in the earth, and things if we're not ready for, he can seriously take advantage of us. The wisdom that Solomon was opening to us in the book of Proverbs, apart from probably Proverbs 8 and 9, all of that wisdom, most of it was how to dwell in the high places here in the earth, how to stay in the high places while in the midst of a system that's controlled by the enemy, the god of this world system, or the harlot. She controls this realm. And you have to navigate through this realm in ways that we don't understand. God keeps us from a lot of it. But once the glory shows up, we're in the middle of things now, because the enemy will come out and she'll keep you. Wisdom was brought to bring a relationship to us and to walk in this realm. She'll come alongside of us, and she's far wiser than we'll ever be in this lifetime. And she's offering to mentor us. She's offering to pour her spirit out and make her words known. Proverbs will not be honey to you until she gets involved. They'll just be words to you, instruction, law, things you need to do. That doesn't generate life. She doesn't bring the word like that. She brings it with honey. She brings it with life. She brings a flow of divine instruction that's coming with a lamp and a light that allows you to see. It comes with warnings, but it allows you to see from an elevated position. And because you can see from that elevated position with the flow of that instruction, it brings a process of change that you couldn't get otherwise, that you're not trying to get in your own strength. She's bringing the grace with the instruction, and she's bringing a wellspring of life with it. She is the original source of the tree of life. She goes, I am the tree of life. She is a tree of life to those who find her, because she will cause you to be able to eat from the tree of life all the day long while you're here, the same way you do while you're up in the realm of the glory. She'll teach you how to stay in the high places with God here. And when I broke into this, I don't know how we did it, but it's an ocean. It's massive. It's deep. It's wide. And it's an operation. And I'm finally starting to understand what Psalm was talking about. And I'm just touching it. But it's so caused such an insatiable hunger now to walk and be trained by her. She's offering a mentorship. And in that mentorship, she's going to give you a lot of things. And the end of it is fullness, life, promise, blessing, wholeness, prosperity, durable strength, long life, peace. She'll give it all to you. But she has to teach you to walk in the realms of the high places to have all that. You're not just going to have all that. The enemy will steal it from you. He's too good at what he does. But she can teach you how to walk in a realm where he cannot steal from you or take from you. She can teach you about the doors and the paths and the crossroads of the enemy, because she has doors and paths of her own, and she'll teach you how to walk in this elevated place. I've not been very good at that, I'll be honest with you. I've been very good at walking in an elevated place with God, but when I get here, I haven't been real good about this realm. It's like I've been a fool here, and I've been wise there. And I have to be purged of the foolishness here. She calls us fools often. She calls us stupid too. Just the part I've been exposed to. Wow. I'm just going to say two things and I'll close. I could give you 5 pages, because it's flowing like a river, like a massive river. And it just keeps opening. She opens one thing and it starts opening 5 other things. And that flow of instruction is so contagious. I don't know how to explain it. It's incredibly contagious. You want it. And if you don't get to the place where you understand that, you'll miss everything she's giving. There's 2 things I want to say, and I'll close, because I can't sit up here and say all this all night. One, there's a verse that says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Say mercy and truth. It's not enough to have iniquity and bring it to the Lord and be forgiven of it, because he will forgive you. It is who he is. He's so merciful. But what happens, he'll forgive you and forgive you. Say forgive you. And then you go repeat it again and he'll forgive you. And you repeat it again and he'll forgive you. How many of you have ever done that before? He's so good at forgiving. until truth comes along. See, wisdom will bring the kind of truth that'll purge it out. You have to get forgiven, but the truth will remove it. She'll root it out with truth. That's why David said that you desire truth in my inward parts. Say truth. That's powerful. Because she's after that. She's got to root some things out of us. I'm telling you, she's got to root it out for God to trust us. She was sent in front of the crown. I'm telling you she was. And she's going to prepare us for the crown. That we don't fall under the weight of the crown, because she is here to root things out. And she has a phenomenal way to do it. And I've only been in it this 4 or 5 days. And it's already producing some pretty amazing result. I'm excited. Second thing I want to say, just for the night. Five? Okay, praise God. Just go to Proverbs 24 real quick and I'll... Man, she's running me up and down Proverbs right now. I'm like, ooh. We didn't even got another tongue, Bart. Ooh, she's got a lot to say about our mouth. You're not going to walk with her if you don't allow her to get a control of your mouth. She will not come into fellowship with someone who cannot control the mouth. But she will help you control it. But that's not what we're talking about. Anyway, Proverbs 24. We'll close with this. I'm closing Chuck's service. Praise God. Amen. This is a powerful. When you get here, I'm going to tell you how you'll know she's there. I'm telling you right here. This is how you'll know. You'll know that you found her. It says, my son, verse 13, eat thou honey because it's good. Or Lana's candy because it's sweet to the taste. Because it's so good. Honor come with candy. Praise God. There's nothing like that, verse 13. So shall, in the same way that honey, that sweet, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto your soul when you have found it. She constantly says to those who find me or to those who find it, you'll have to find it. You can't just read the book of Proverbs and find it. You're going to have to come into a relationship with her. She's the only one that's going to minister that book to you the way it needs to be ministered to. You will not get what's in those pages on your own. You can't meditate it out. She will bring it by way of a relationship and a divine flow of grace, life, and instruction. And when she brings the divine, she'll bring a change that's necessary to get you out of where you are into where you need to be. She's the only one who can make that happen here. And she's skilled at it, beyond skill, beyond skill. And I'm like, whoa. And one more thing, I'm going to sneak it in. This is chapter 1. I promise you, I'll stop with this. Verse 22, he said, how long, you simple ones? That's a very nice word for stupid. How long, you stupid ones, will you love being stupid? How long are you going to keep being stupid? There's obviously some level of stupidity in all of us, or we would be what she said we would be. There's some simpleness that we need to get purged. Let's be nice. Okay. Nobody wants to be called stupid. I get that part. And your scorners delight in the scorning. Fools hate knowledge. Watch this. Turn you at my reproof. And then I will pour out my spirit unto you. And I'll make known my words to you. She will come with spirit. And she will come with revelation of these words that will come out like honey. They'll come out like life. They'll come out with an instruction that'll make you want to change. She'll bring it out with her spirit. But you have to turn to her. You have to be done with the way you are. If you're not done with the way you are, you're not going to find her. You have to be done. And you have to know, I can't be this person you're talking about. I can't operate like this in this book. I don't know how to do that. I have too much foolishness in me. I don't know how to do that. I can't find that. She goes, you don't need to do that. I've come to make you wise. I'm the one. She's offering something, a mentorship, beyond mentorship. But you're going to have to find her. You've got to lay down everything and be willing to be trained by her and willing to accept the instruction she gives. And more than anything, you have to be done. You have to be done with your ways. You have to be done with your ways. If you're not done, you won't see it. If you won't see it, we're going to miss some serious mentorship. But there is a flow, I'm just telling you. And thus far, it's been there all day long. For the last 4 days. I get my haircut by Tammy. I told Tammy, I don't need to come over there. You don't need to. She goes, no, come. I want you to come and minister to me. So I came over there. And the whole time she's cutting my hair, I'm so caught up in these verses while she's cutting my hair. She's just sipping away, and all of a sudden the glory just fills the room. And I'm just so, into these verses. Honey. Say, honey. It's intoxicating to want to change, to get out from the old paths and get on some paths that she has for us. I think we're going to have a whole lot of this. I think she's coming to this house in a magnificent way, and she's going to prepare us for the crown to walk with the kind of authority, power, and dominion. I think she's coming now, and she moves fast. Amen. Chuck, that was a good message tonight. Praise God. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.